Okay. Anyway, okay. The Maisa, I don't like to repeat myself. I'm going to repeat myself a little bit, because what can you do? We mentioned probably 25 times already that the idea of Yom Tovim in Yiddishkeit, according to the Ramchal, is not a birthday party. You know, a birthday party means you're just making you want to remember it. So we have to remember it, so we make a day to commemorate. Yom Zikaron, Yom, that's how you want to make a Yom Atzmut, you know, to directly remember Yom Zikaron. Right? And if for some reason it's an inconvenient day, so then you make a different day, right? Which is what people do. But the Ramchal says that that's not pshat. The pshat is that the day, that there's a concept in Hashkafa, the Beis Halevi says this too, is that when Hashem created the world, Hashem looked into the future and see what Klal Yisrael needs and see when it's going to happen, and he put things in each day, what it needed. Just like the Mishnah author says that Hashem created the Pi HaBer and the Pe HaOsom, were all created in Sheshes Yimei Breishes, Erev HaShavas Bein HaShmashas, the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. So Hashem created, he put the chaos of the days into the day. That's why the Beis HaLevi says that we have in the Chumash that Avram and Lot was eating matzah, and because it was Pesach, but they already had this segula of the day. And Yitzchak went to Yaakov went to get the bracha was Leil Pesach, right? That's what we say there in the Fibah Chatzi Alayda, a bunch of things. But Yaakov went to get the bracha on Leil Pesach. And that the pshat is that the days have a power. Hashem put a power in the day. Then when they actually, then how do we know what power in the day is? Whatever happened later is a simen that that's the power that's in the day. But it's also a siva, because when it's yaisim and akayach o'apoyo, whenever you exercise something, it becomes stronger. So that's why Tisha B'Av is a day that's miyuchid for Peronius, because it's a simen that it was that way from Sheshes Yimei Breishes. And that's why it's not just coincidental that the Bayit Rishon and Bayit Sheni and the Spanish Inquisition, and many people say World War I, I don't know exactly how it worked out, but I was not a historian, started out at Tisha B'Av, and people say Adar is a good time. So the million-dollar Shaida then is, according to what the Ramchal says, which we did this on every Yontif, is that when you have a Yontif, you're supposed to figure out what that time is mesugal for, and then take advantage of that time. So the shaita is what happened during Sfira, and what is Sfira mesugal for, and therefore what are we supposed to be doing during Sfira? Right, that's the shaita. So regretfully, it's not so partial, like most of any sometimes. It is a big. If you look in this far end, there's a big two basic different opinions on what happened during Sfira and what Sfira days are mesugal for. The most simple shot is that Klal Yisrael and Sfira went up from Memtes Shari Tumah to Memtes Shari Kedusha. That's the Parshat shot from the Tefek Kabbalah Sfarim. The Klal Yisrael and Mitzrayim were on the lowest level of Tumah. If Hashem would have waited another day, or even less than a day, an hour, whatever, then they would have gone into such a level of tumah that they could never get out. Right? That's either Hashem Yisham because we could have never gotten out of Mitzrayim, because once they reach Nun Shari Tumah, you could never get out of it. So Christ, we're a drop away from Nun Shari Tumah. They were on the lowest level of the lowest possible Kemat. And in order to get to Har Sinai, they had to reach the level of Memtes Shari Kedusha, or even according to some Shitas, Nun Shari Kedusha, depending who you ask, that they have to reach the point that the Pasuk Tumasam, that they reached Madreg of Adam Arishan called the Machet, according to the many Svarim, and therefore that's what the Yimei Sfira is, that's what the Ramchal learns, that every day they went up one level of, they got rid of one level of Tumah and substituted a level of Kedusha. Okay, that's the Ramchal. There's many problems with that pshat. The first problem is that it seems that even when they went out of Mitzrayim, they were already on a high madrega. We celebrate Pesach, because on Pesach, we read on the Yetzias Mitzrayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu raised Klal Yisrael's madrega. So if they're already on a high madrega, Yetzias Mitzrayim, then according to this whole cheshbon, they should have been a Memta Shari Tumma. Right? Good gosh. So I once heard from a real Mekubal, I actually asked the Mekubal this question, and he told me that the pshat is that in Yetzias Mitzrayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it was from the outside. Hashem made a neis, and he raised up Klal Yisrael's Madrega from Memta Shari Tuma. But then there were 49 days that Klal Yisrael had to do it themselves. So Hashem, in a sense, raised it up, and then he put them back down again. And as he raised them up, they get to go out of Mitzrayim. Otherwise, they couldn't go out of Mitzrayim. So Hashem raised them up. But then they didn't do it. And Hashem did it. So now Hashem gave you, okay, now that I did it for you, it's like first you learn Kol Tzarikula before you're born, and then you forget it, and now you have to do it yourself. He said it's the same idea. That Hashem raised Klal Yisrael from Yetzias Mitzrayim, but then he took it away from them, and they had to do it themselves now. That's what this Mekubal said. But there's still a kash on that, which I did not ask this Mekubal, is that according to many Chazal, on Kriyas Yamsuf, Chazal say, Rosh Shifra Shebiyam HaShem Araya Chesgo Bambuzi. And as we know, there's a gigantic machlokes about among the Bari Musar what that means. But the Sabaka Bari Musar mean that learn it that means that Klal Yisrael were on a tremendously high madrega. They were on a higher madrega, higher than Yechesko Bambuzi. The non-Sabaka Bari Musar learned Rosh Shifra Shebiyam, that they say that it was the kid. It was the same thing. Hashem made Shifra means they were lowlives. It was just a nace that they could see it, even though they weren't deserving. But okay, but the Sabaka approach is that it means that Klal Yisrael are on a very high madrega at Kriyas Yamsuf. So if they're 49 days as they go up to Memtaz Shari Kedusha, then day 7 they should have just been on 42 days of Shari Tumah. How can they be on such a high madrega of greater than Yechezkel? Kasha. I don't know the answer to Kasha. He told me, Rav Avrahami, who was not a Mekubal, told me that Rav Chatzkel Levinson said that it did not go with the shot of 49 Shari Tumas. He said it just means in Daki Dakis they weren't 49 Shari Tumas. I don't know. One, they had a Dakis of each of the 49 Shari Tumas. So they had to go up. Every day they had to purify themselves from a dakis of a shari tumma. Not that they were boy, right? What? Yes. So that's what he said. He was from Rav Chatzkel. Rav Avrami was a Talmud. Rav Chatzkel. Rav Chatzkel. Let me see. Right. So he was a. So he said that from Rav Chatzkel. Anyway, it's not clear. So this pshat is a little bit unclear. If you learn this, read this in this Nusach Sfiras HaOmer, it sounds like this shot. I don't know. But anyway, but there's a second shot. Even if you learn this shot, it's very ambiguous what you're supposed to work on. What are the Memta Shari? Every day is a different Shari Tumba. So which Shari Tumba is the day? And, we don't know. So it's very hard to know. The other shot, which I don't remember who say it, but definitely people say it, is that the Memta Shari days were days to go up the Madregas to get to Kabbalah Satayra. They say that in Kelm, they learned during Svira, there are Memchas Var Shatara Niknisba, that's in Pirkei Avos. Every day in Svira, they learned one of the 48 things, and on the last day, they chazer the four, all 48, the chazar, to go for it. But the idea was that the May, in a much more ambiguous, it's still ambiguous, but in a more general, more pointed way, The Yemei Svira were days to be kind of Taira. More direct. We have a little bit more of a direction what they're for, according to this chapter. They're days of Hachana for Taira. Certain Klal Yisrael had to make Hachanas be Roy for Taira. So the 49 days of Svira are days that prepare a person for Torah. That's what many people say. I think, I'm pretty sure I quoted it last year, but I quote it every year, so I probably quoted it last year too. A story is in, there's a sefer, there's a sefer that was printed, a biography of whom? That's me. Rav Zonenfeld. Rav Yosef Chaim Zonenfeld, right? Rav Yosef Chaim Zonenfeld is famous because of Mir Yeshiva. He's on the phone, Rav Zonenfeld, right? But anyway, so Rav Zonenfeld was a very big gadol, and Rav Zonenfeld went ahead and had, the story goes, and when he was a teenager, relatively young, probably younger than most of the guys here, he got sick. And he went to the doctor, and the doctor went ahead and told him, you know, whatever, and he made it better. But he also told him that even after he gets better, he has to take a break. You know, part of why he got sick is he's run down physically. He doesn't get enough rest. He doesn't sleep enough. His body is schwach. And he should go ahead and take a week vacation. I don't know exactly. I don't think he went to a hotel. But whatever it is, he should take a certain amount of vacation to rest up, to get his body back in shape. Sure enough, the next day, he's back in yeshiva. So his rabbi went ahead and screamed at him. What's going on? It's a mitzvah shemartim esnaf shaseichem. If the doctor tells you you should take a vacation, you gotta take a vacation. So Rav Zonenfeld, this 14, 15-year-old boy, whatever age he was, told his rabbi, of course I'm going to listen to the doctor, but not during Sfira. Right. You know, Sfira is a special day of Hachana for Torah. The whole success of learning all year depends on the Hachana of preparing yourself for Shavuos. I can't waste a week of the preparing for Shavuos for give occasion. After Shavuos, I'll take my vacation. I'll take that week vacation. The doctor said I should get a week vacation to rest up. So I'll take the week vacation, but not during the days between Sfira. That's basically what he said. Which means that the Hashkafa is that the days of Sfira are special days of Hachana for learning. And depending on how you use them mystically, somehow or another, is one success of learning during the year. Right? Shavuos for sure. Is we mentioned this many times, that Shavuos is the day of the is the Yom Adin on Ruchnius, right? We said this last time. Remember? I don't remember. We said this. Someone remember that we said, we call it the Shavuot, that we have that before Rosh Hashanah. What do we lay in the Torah before Rosh Hashanah? We lay in the Tochacha, a week and a half before Rosh Hashanah. We lay the Tocha and Parashas Tisavo. Okay. And we find that we also, there's two Tochachas in the Torah. There's one Tochacha in Parashas Tisavo, but there's a second Tochacha in where? In Bechuk Gosai. And when do we lay in Bechuk Gosai? A week and a half, basically, before Shavuos. So he says it's because the Shavuos is the Yom Adin, the Rosh Hashanah is Hayom Haras Olam. Rosh Hashanah is the day that the physical world was created. Therefore, it's the Yom Adin on the physical world, but it's the birthday of the physical world, so that's the Yom Adin of the physical world. And Shavuos is Hayom Haras Olam, the day that the spiritual world was created. Because Shavuos was a Matan Torah. So that's the birthday of the Ruchnius world. And just like Rosh Hashanah is the Yom Adin on the physical world, Shavuos is the Yom Adin on the spiritual world. And just like Rosh Hashanah has an Elul, which is 40 days to prepare, or really 30 days before Rosh Hashanah, to prepare for Rosh Hashanah, so Shavuos has a Sfira. That's what the Shavah says, in the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah says, Shruas Nidan are Paris Eden. So he says, Paris Eden is some kind of mystery, it means in the Shama, I think. I remember, I think so. I don't remember what he said, Paris Eden. But he said, Paris Eden does not mean fruit tree. I think he said, I don't remember. Okay, anyway, I don't remember either. Yeah, something like that. The Paris of Eden is like the roof leaf. I think he might have said something else in the Shema. Okay, I don't know, but it's not that right there. It's that kind of guess. So anyway, the Maisa, so it comes out, according to the second shot, it's a little bit easier to get to relate to. Shavuos is the Yom HaDin on Torah. Shavuos is the day the world of Torah was created. The Sphira is the day to prepare for Kabbalah HaTorah. And according to that Cheshbon, so the Avoda of the 49 days is a little bit more focused. Instead of saying it's a go from Memtes Shari Tumah to Memtes Shari Kedusha, which is somewhat ambiguous, even though it's also not so ambiguous, it's to work on Torah, which is what I remember Rav Avrahami telling me that was what was accepted in the yeshivas. That in yeshivas, in the good old days, when yeshivas were real yeshivas, he said that during Sfira, there was a more of a chizik in learning. People did not, yeshivas. Today I would not say that is true. It's not in any yeshivas that I'm aware of. I'm not aware that in yeshivas there's a stronger asmada during Sfira than the rest of the year. But he said that when he was in yeshiva, going back 50, 60, 70 years ago, that was true. That the asmada in the yeshiva was extra during Sfira. There was a extra emphasis on learning during Sfira. Like this of Yosef Chaim Zonenfeld, that there was it was taught that Sfira is a special day for Ruchnius, for growth in Torah. Right, and somehow they tie that also where Rabbi Akiva's Talmidim dying also was a din in Torah. Somehow it connects. But okay. That's the people get, I don't want to get off on a tangent, but people discuss Sfira. Rabbi Akiva's Talmidim davening is not the Ikar of Sfira. Haraya, because that happened later. Right, the Ikar Sfira is in the Torah. So Sfira is not the real derisa of Sfira, is nothing to do with Kivis Talmidim later. Dying. Kivis Talmidim dying is a totsah of the din Sfira that's in the Torah. So you have to somehow connect to explain why Kivis Talmidim dying was connected to this, why they died during Sfira, because there was something special about Sfira that preceded we keep it some eat them die. Okay. Anyway. But be that made, the normal shot that I heard, but I don't get I'm getting off on tangent, is that Rabbi Kivis Talmidim had a mission of teaching Torah, Rabbi Kivis Torah Bihaftri Hafa Kamoicha, and they weren't teaching it properly, so they were had to be destroyed. But okay. Anyway, so what comes out of the Maisa? What comes out of the Maisa, and this is what I think I say every year too, is that during Sfira we have to work harder on learning. That is a nicer. Now, working hard on learning includes two areas. There's quantity and quality, right? The yeshiva's shita always is that quality is daiche quantity, which means that if you would want, what is the, if I had to work to improve my learning, is what is the most important way to improve the learning? The yeshiva, Rashiva definitely would say if you can learn better, your quality of your learning can be better, that's the best thing. The Maisa, it's very often very difficult to improve the quality of your learning. How do I improve the quality? How do I think harder? very ambiguous. Sometimes it's the easiest thing to do is to work on quantity. Quantity is like the easy, I had an extra 5 minutes later after Myris. You know, like you can't, you know, it's like it's very, that's easy. That's tangible. You can easily do. So, but whatever. But that's what we're supposed to be trying to do. Either both in quality or in quantity, that we're supposed to try and increase our learning. So that's just quickly run through some ideas. Now, how do you do that? Really, a guy has to think himself, because I don't know how you can make your learning quality better, and I also don't know how you can make it quantity better, because, you know, the assumption is that guys are not wasting all day, and they're basically learning, and so who said you can keep on adding time? You know, it doesn't, at some point, you know, I'm learning every second that I can learn, right? Supposedly. So you have to know yourself. Obviously, I guess for the man of MS, otherwise Rabbi, the yeshiva, I believe we do all the vasmada, but there's within, you know, there's Rabbi Trapper was always that the guys have to be a balance, and you know, so you have to figure out a way of vasmada without going crazy. So there, you know. So you have to figure that out yourself. Okay. Anyway, let's just try and give some examples. But you have to figure it out. We'll start with quality. How do you improve the quality of your learning? So, first of all, let's say shiur. So, guys should take notes. Note taking is a very, very good thing to helping get shiur better for many people. I don't say for everybody, for most people. When I first came to the yeshiva, my first year in yeshiva, which I'm not supposed to give away how old I am, but it was Ksuvis 7 cycles ago, right? 7 cycles ago. Okay, so it's getting close to right amount of time. My first year, I was in Rabbi Naiman's shiur. I was in Rabbi Naiman's shiur, Ksuvis. So, that was, right? So, Rabbi Naiman gave me a job. Rabbi Naiman used to have these little notebooks. He used to have these little teeny notebooks, pocket-sized notebooks. And he gave me a job. I had to write up shiur for him every day. And I had six short lines to write up the shiur. Because the book had like, you know, no, that was it. That was the day. And my job was figure out how to summarize the whole shiur in 6 lines. No more, no less. I don't know, less could be okay. No more. And it was very good, because you got rid of all the, you know, how to write up the shiur concisely. The point, did it every day, as long as I was in the shiur. Writing up shiur is a very good way of consolidating and getting it clear, the clear conclusion. When I was in the blot shiur, there were times, I don't know if I always did it, but sometimes I used to write up shiur every day, and at the end of the sugya, I used to write up shiur again. Because, you know, the way the shiur works is the shiur builds, you know, it's not every, especially in the blot shiur, you're working through a sugya, and at the end you get a conclusion. So I would, you know, every day we did something. So that was just, and that ended up going into Seamus. And then at the end of the sugya, I wrote up the whole sugya, figuring out. But the daily writing up was just to, it was a very good chazara system. So writing up shiur is very good chazara. Obviously, going over with another person is also a very good chazara. Person gets a chavrusa to go over shiur with. That's we sometimes, not during Seder, a stronger guy with a weaker guy is a very good thing too. Okay. Another good thing for quality is having quotas and goals. Right? Why does yeshiva have quotas for bikiyas? Because without a quota, you sort of just, you know, somehow you know, take your time. and you learn less. When you have a quota, the quota forces you to reach the quota, right? It's like a hechra. Hechras are very, very good things, right? I give the example, I've said this also many, many times, I apologize for repeating myself so often, then I think I heard this from a Meir Chodesh, that there was the two guys in yeshiva were learning the same sugya, they were working on the same, you know, they were, well, everyone in the yeshiva was preparing the same thing, but the guy was working on it, he got stuck on a problem, he's sitting for an hour thinking about the problem, can't get shot. The other guy walks over to them and says, hey, you're working on that thesis. I have a kasha for you. And he asks him the kasha that the guy's been spending an hour thinking about that he couldn't get shot. And basically, in 1 second, without even thinking, says, what? You got stuck on that kasha? What's wrong with you? It's bullshit. And he gives him a good answer. So he says, here he's been thinking an hour on it and he could not get shot. And in less than a second, he got shot because he had a hechra. The hechra is he got put on the spot. Because the other guy would say, you were working an hour in Davis and I asked you a kasha and you didn't know the shot. So his gaiva put him on the spot. He figured out the answer. So when you have a hechra, hechrechim force guys to do better. Your brain works better when you have a hechra. So if you have a quota could be, the simplest quota could be a, you know, the kiyas quota. Having to have to say a shmooze, right? There are guys that make a chavura, they have to say a shmooze. That's a hechra, right? I have to figure out a shmooze. If I have to figure out a shmooze, you're going to figure out a shmooze. Otherwise, you spend, you know, you won't be able to figure out a shmooze. But if you have to figure out a shmooze, you know, if you tell yourself, I have to come up with a shmooze, whatever, you have a group. So that creates a hechra. Creating a chrechin. You can have a hechra. I have to speak up in shir. I must say something in shir. That's a hechra to get the brain to think. People go ahead and, you know, they're relaxed in shir. But if you have a hechra, I must say something. So I got to think of something good to say. So, you know, so that hechrechim are very, very good. Obviously, if you get older, you're not ready for this yet, you have a hechruch, you write a sefer, right? That's a great hechruch. It really is. It's a great hechruch, because if you have to write a sefer, and you don't want to make a fool of yourself, so you have a hechruch to come up with a good job, a hechruch to write to, right? A hechruch, people, the guys in the basement, is working chaburas. It's a hechruch. You talk to any guy who's working on a chabura, they will tell you that they come up with things they would have never come up before because they have to do it. So you have to figure out it's an artificial hechruch, but you got to make it yourself. Theoretically, if we had tests, it would be good, but the yeshiva, you know, yeshivas, you can't have tests. The guys would go on strike. We would lose all our students if we had this test, because, well, you're treating us like babies, right? Whatever it is. But really, the tests are very good. But a guy can make his own hechrech. You have to make your own test. I can make a hechrech, then I'm going to say over the Gemara Baal Peh. I'm going to know the Gemara, the Shakla. It's going to be the words, the Shakla Vitaria Baal Peh. My hechrech is, and I have to chazer. I have to be able to say over every day after, I told the guys, it's Rav Zone. We took the guys to Rav Zone. I heard this a few times from him. Then he said that Chazal say you're supposed to chazer, I forgot how many times. How many times? 60 times, I think he said. 40? 40 times? Okay, I don't remember. 40 times? No, it wasn't 100. It wasn't 100. Maybe it was 40. Okay, 40 times. We'll say. I don't even know. I thought it was 60, but okay. So he's 40 times. That could be right. So he's supposed to chazer everything 40 times in order to know it really well. Obviously, 100 is better, but 40 is three-quarter chazer. So he says, how can you chazer 40 times? So he said what he used to do himself is at the end of Seder, before he would go home or go daven, is he would chazer what he learned that day. The end of Seder. He would, the last 5-10 minutes of Seder, he would chazer what he learned and pick out the bullet points of the main things that he learned. And it will be 5, 10, 15 bullet points, and that's it. And then he says, walking home, or walking to Davin, he would just chazer over those 5, 10, 15 points 40 times. He says, in 15 minutes, he could chazer the whole day's Iker learning 40 times. But that's a system. He figured out a system, and that's a good system. Rabbi Turk used to have a different system, which he got from a Rabbi Davis, who was a Yeshiva of Mountaindale. He told him to do his system. He used to do it. And I know other people did the system. I did it sometimes in the Shavura Seder, is to try and write down in a notebook the highlights of the also the Gemara, and then read over, read that over a bunch of times. You know the Sefer Shon HaHalachos, right? So that's basically what it is. Chaim Kanevsky wrote down for him. I think that's what he did it for. I think he did it for himself. He wrote for him, and then they just published it. He wrote down for himself the conclusions in the Mishnah Berurah, and then you. If you want to know your Mishnah Berurah, then you read over the conclusions. You have to read over the whole Mishnah Berurah, but you do a thing for your day. Anyway, the mice I'm getting, but these are all different tricks you got to think of. So you have to have the mice hechrechim. You have to have a hechra. You have to have some kind of program. It's not just enough to say, I'm learning. I'm learning. I'm in yeshiva. I'm in the Beis Medrash. It's much healthier if you could think of a program that matches your personality. You want to do Mishnayos Yomi is very nice. If you want a guy who wants to learn Mishnayos, Rashiva was a very big fan of learning Mishnayos. Rashiva held that there's a piece of quote from the Chafetz Chaim that a person has to finish Kol HaTorah Kudah once in his life, because Acher Meve Esrim, they learn in Shemayim, you learn Torah. And you can only learn in Shemayim what you learned in this world. You don't have to learn at the same level of Ian, as long as you did the beginning. So Daf Yomi, believe it or not, does not have Kol HaTorah Kudah in it, because Daf Yomi does not have Zroim and Tyrus. So just you learn Daf Yomi did not mean you learned Shas, even though people say they did. But Shas stands for Shisha Sidre, right? Daf Yomi is not Shisha Sidre. So theoretically, a person can learn all Daf Yomi, and you'll come Acher Meiv Esrim to Shemayim, and they won't let you into a shir on Peah, because you never learn Peah. But if you learn Mishnayos, all Mishnayos, I don't know exactly, then you could get in. I think that's what Rashi used to say. So Rashi used to advocate that a guy should at least once in his life finish all Shisha Sidre Mishnah, came from the Chafetz Chaim. And there are systems of a Mishnah Yomi. It's not such a bad system. It doesn't take that long. You do a Mishnah a day, you do Mishnah a day, whatever you decide you want to do. And you learn it. It's also an extra, it's a hechruch. It's the same way Daf Yomi is good, because it's a hechruch. Mishnah Yomi, there's also Halacha Yomi, there's Kitzur Shulchan Aruch Yomi. It's also a good thing. So the making a certain hechruch is a wonderful thing. Quota. Every day I have to do a Mishnah, one Mishnah. Every day I have to ask a question. Every day I have to come up with a chiddush. And whatever you decide your hechruch is going to be. But it's a very good thing. Okay. Just quickly to talk about Bekiyas, Hasmada. Hasmada is a very, very unclear thing in the yeshiva. Depending on, as I say, on one hand, Hasmada is major. You can't become a Talmud Chacham without being a Masmid. On the other hand, there were regretfully people that overdid it, and then they got, In the easy way, they got burned out. In the bad way, the worst case scenario, they got worse than burned out. they got cracked up. It doesn't happen too often, but it has happened. So Rabbi Trapper was very, very nervous. Rajabra dealt always with the problem situations in Yeshiva. So he was very weary of pushing too much asmada. On the other hand, how can you not push asmada? It's like the other guy's a mushel. It's like there are people, I know someone who cracked up because they got divorced. It's different if you tell people they shouldn't get married. You know, you gotta get married. Marriage is, without getting married, you can't get, you know, certain success. Having children. There's a danger that marriage, if you don't get married, you definitely won't have the aggravation of divorce. You get married, you're risking the aggravation of divorce. But sometimes you gotta take a chance. So, you know, if you don't do asmada, you don't have to worry about burning out. But you also don't have to worry about becoming a Talmid Chacham. So it's the solution, I think, I'm not sure everyone agrees, is you have to do both. You have to push a little bit asmada, but be very, very careful that you're not putting excess pressure on yourself, which means you have to test yourself. If you're tense, if you're irritable, if when someone battles you, you snap at them and you feel you're like very pressurized, then it's time to close the Gemara and take a walk and battle. Don't get a guy who sits in the Beis Medrash and he looks like he's about to explode. He's a teapot that's about, you know, guy sitting with his feet folded, and you know, sometimes you can see the expression. The guy just sitting there, and he looks like he's the most tense person in the world. Very bad. Better battle, because we don't want you to. But if you can learn basmada and be relaxed, right? You got the Havdil El Havdalas. The guy can take a book like the Havdil, and you take a secular book, and you can read it for 5 hours straight. You don't burn out, right? Because you're relaxed. You're not. There's no pressure. You're sitting on the couch and reading a book. You're reading Harry Potter for 5 hours. I want to read it from the beginning to end. It's such a great book. See, you're going to burn out sitting 5 hours reading it. So if you are able, you relax while you're learning. You can sit and learn for a long time as long as you train yourself to be relaxed, not to be pressure. And you have to test yourself. If you're relaxed, you can be, I give you permission to be a masmid. You can learn during breakfast, lunch, supper, and nighttime. You can sleep a little bit there. But as long as you're relaxed, no, you have to get good night sleep. Good night, asmada does not enter into sleep. No one should ever cut their sleep because of asmada, that's bad. Guy has to get a good night's sleep. If you don't get a good night's sleep, you can't learn. But so that you do not cut into sleep time because of asmada. That's a big mistake. People need their sleep. But everything else, you can be. But a maisa asmada is important as long as you're relaxed. So you should take it gradually. If you're adding, you'd only add 5 minutes to your schedule. Don't add more than 5 minutes. Don't get all tense. Don't scream at your chavrusa if he's battling you. But if you can add 5 minutes after Seder, 5 minutes during breakfast, 5 minutes during lunch, you know, somewhere. It's doable. There's a lot of wasting time. A guy comes for breakfast. Right? Okay. So now, if Fisher Brewer ends at what time? Fishery 5 to 9? Then what do? Then you go into the dining room and you wait 5 minutes online for Errol to get you your bread. Right? So what if you end the Shabura Seder at 9 o'clock? So the difference is, you might even just get this, your food the same time. You just don't have to wait online. Or maybe you'll get it someday. You get it 2 minutes later, so your breakfast will be shortened 2 minutes. So what? That's true. But we don't have to worry somehow. Certain things, you do not have to worry if everyone's going to do it. You know, I've learned. If everyone does that, no one's going to vote. Okay, so let everyone go vote, and I won't vote. You know, okay, now you're supposed to vote, though, right? But the Maisa, there's there are ways of sneaking in extra learning without making a big deal. See, Mr. That happens to be the example that I gave of an extra 2 minutes of Mr. Brewer's Seder is a good example. Because at that time, you're not like so, it's not going to cause so much tension. See, that's a good, because your day is just starting. You're going to have a breakfast break anyway. So if you go, Mr. Brewer's Seder goes an extra 2 minutes, you're not going to say, I'm going to burn out because I learned an extra 2 minutes, Mr. Brewer's Seder. I got it. So I could hear that maybe at 10:30 you're ready, you've had it. And you're going to start telling me I have to learn after Maariv. I can't do that. Okay, maybe. Depends on the guy. But okay, anyway, the Maisa, so that's a very important thing. I don't want to go over time. But there's a balance. On one end, the worst thing is to push yourself beyond the good, because if a chas v'shalom of a person does burn out, and shortly the guy cracks up, that's horrible. It's better to battle, be suffering, than to risk getting to a point that you're going to get there. So you should, Rabbi Trapper is definitely right, that it's not worth hasmada if you're going, there's a danger that that might happen. However, I'm just saying, but on the other hand, we can't give up hasmada either. Hasmada is too important. Hasmada is, you know, every person who was a real Talmud Chacham, every story you hear about any gadol, you hear that they were masmidim. It seems to be a pretty common requirement. So hasmada is important. So you have to figure out a way that you can be a masmid without risking that you're gonna get on your nerves. So you have to be very relaxed about it. You have to be calm. You have to be, I tell the guys, there's a Sefer Binyan Olam, which is a Sefer which talks about Hasmada. And Rabbi Trapper took it off the shelves in Queens because he felt that it was too intense for the guys. He basically talks about not wasting a second and every word. And, it is a little intense Sefer. But the first time it's written by an anonymous author. We don't know, but we found out who the Binyan Olam was. We get that time now. The story, we found out. We called him up to make an appointment to see him. And we went, I thought, who knows this guy, the Binyan Olam, this super massman, And we come to this base medrash, and he's sitting there with his jacket off, with his sleeves rolled up, I assume up to the elbow, with a cup of tea in his hand, He just looked like the perfect picture of Mr. Relax. Like, I was like, that's a Binyan Olam, I'm sure he didn't battle. I'm sure he didn't battle. He was a big tzaddik to Binyan Olam. But he was relaxed. He was like, he wrote the, he was relaxed. Rav Plashinsky used to sometimes give me cheer. He was lying on a beach chair. Relax. You can be relaxed and still learn. Shabbos afternoon. That was his Einig Shabbos. He was Shabbos afternoon. He had a porch, and he would lie on the beach chair and enjoy the breeze of Yerushalayim. But he would talk and learning. But he was relaxed. So there's no stira. A person is that's what we have to aim for. We have to be relaxed when we learn. We have to be happy. If you're tense, forget it. Go take a walk. Out of the base medrash. Kick the guy out. If your chavrusa is tense and he snaps at you when you ask a question, or if you battle, he screams at you, you throw him out of your base medrash. You tell him, go eat two ice creams. Right? But if what? Yeah. Okay. A joke? Okay. Anyway, right? You'll have to make a joke too. Anyway, but a maisa, but in that sense, we do hold of asmada. Asmada is important. But you have to go slowly. Okay, shikaya.